was born by the river in a little tent.
Welcome back, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're joined this half hour by John Dietrich, an investigative reporter with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Over the course of 2 years, he's been doing research and investigations into gun-related violence here in the state of Wisconsin. His most recent piece, titled, Her son shot himself by accident with her gun. Should she be charged with a felony in Wisconsin? It depends. Came out just this morning. You can find it at www.jsonline.com. Thanks for making time, John, and thank you for your excellent work over the course of these, I think, nearly now 2+ years. There is this very interesting sort of recitation of facts towards the end of your article, where you describe the gun safety trainings that are offered for gun owners. And one of the people that gives these trainings frequently was at one of them. You were there, and he stood up and said, "The Wisconsin Department of Justice recommends that you keep your firearm unloaded and locked in a safe, separated from the ammunition." And he was doing this in the city of Milwaukee, and the people in the room literally laughed at him. And the thing I want to ask you about is, again, we've been talking about the racial disparities that occur because in Milwaukee County, when kids are accidentally shot by a firearm and hurt or killed, these incidents get charged as felonies. And in other counties in the state, they don't. They're charged as misdemeanors. And that's got a disparate impact that you can see on a racial basis. And the fact of the matter is, a lot of people in Milwaukee County that have guns in their home have them for personal safety, and they laugh when they're told to put their guns in a safe because that's not giving them the feeling, the perception of being safe in the home. They own them to defend themselves, and they can't defend themselves with the gun that they bought for that express purpose if it's locked up in a safe. So there's this moment, there's this tension, right, between a parent who, in good faith, because of the experiences or incidents of violence in their own life, active maybe threats against them, have a loaded gun in their home, and they have it because they want to protect their kids, and an accident like this occurs. John, can you help us? Am I getting this right, that there's this tension yep. there? Like, these aren't people trying to do mm-hmm. badly by their kids. They're trying to protect their families.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And I appreciate that. That was a scene that really stopped me. And, you know, it yes. was kind of a funny moment, but it was a really serious moment, too, because what I understood then is that if you miss the reason that somebody has a firearm, you're not going to understand how to prevent this. So coming at somebody to offer something like, "Hey, the safest house is the house with no gun," or "just get rid of your gun," or "keep your gun unloaded and separated from the ammunition." Those are all true and accurate statements to prevent accidents and you know, theft and things like that. But what that misses is kind of the world that people are living in. And what miss is that you're exactly right, that the firearms of people I'm talking to, people are it's because of, you know, the fear or perceived fear in a neighborhood. Some people have articulable, you know, risk from batterers in their life and domestic violence cases. You know, it just strikes, again, it's one of these things where, you know, you sort of hear this blanket statement that says, you know, a gun brought into the house for self or home protection is more likely to be used against you. And that is statistically true. However, risk is not evenly distributed. And
correct.
So there are, and because of circumstances and geography and what's going on, there is, you know, further risk. Now, I think the big issue that when I would talk to individuals was that, and in that particular class, the unloaded and separated from ammunition was the bigger issue than right. kept in a safe. Because as I talk to people, and I've been to several of these classes, the idea of a safe is well received. And so it's not as if the only options are on the nightstand loaded
right.
or under a mattress, or unloaded and separated from the ammunition and so forth. There is another way, and it's, you know, it's safe, so it's biometric safe. There's a way to keep a firearm quickly accessible and unavailable to anybody who's not authorized to have it. So the
biometric safe, as you mentioned, John. Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. And there's other kinds of safes, too, that don't use electronics, but the biometrics have really come a long way. I talked to this guy, Timmy O., you know, who invented this VeriSafe, and, you know, there's a lot of them out there right now. But again, I think it's really important to understand when you're thinking in, like, what are people actually using it for? Because I went through and coded all these cases from across the state. Almost all these guns are self-defense guns, at least yes. If it was articulated in the criminal complaint. These are.
Well, and that's such the point, John. It is a person who lives in extraordinary privilege to say, hey, don't worry about that. Don't own a gun. Keep it in a safe. Like then you probably haven't ever actually had to live in fear. And that's the point. John, where do you come down on this from your vantage point? I tend to think we need to look at this as not a one size fits all charging decision, especially because we're seeing these disparities across the state. It makes me uncomfortable.
I think the messaging that you raise is, you know, it's interesting. As I talk to researchers about the impacts of these cases, I think one of the things that came when I talked to Dr. Miller and others is that the feeling that these laws may be having unintended expectation and it also are coming from individuals who are maybe living in the suburbs and where they are fortunate to have well-policed areas where they don't have situations that are going on from some position of privilege in this case. And so, and again, it's not about shaming people either way. You know, it's about trying to understand the circumstances. And like you say, one size fits all. But the other thing to keep in mind,
John, I'm sorry, we're going to have to leave it there. Running out of time. Thank you so much, folks. That's John Dietrich, investigative reporter for the Journal Sentinel. John, I'll reach out. I'd like to have you come back on and to continue this discussion, as well as discuss some of your prior work in this area. Really excellent job, John. Appreciate your time. Folks, we're going to come back with Tom Paulsowitz. Tom and I are going to dive right back into that Dennis Snakes, the old Biden pardon of his son, Hunter, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Join our conversation right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked, y'all.